Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
We talk with Sam Panionovich on Thursdays at this time. Our conversations are sponsored by PointsBet. We talk about sports and wagering and sports wagering. About that bad beat, what would you say was the biggest upset or the worst beat in the tournament so far? Historically, mathematically, this has proven to be the least predictable tournament of all time. What's the worst beat in this tournament so far?
I don't know that we've had a really tough beat yet. There was a situation when Gonzaga played Oklahoma. The spread was 14.5. Gonzaga's up 8, 9, 10 pretty much all game. And then in the final minute, Gonzaga hits a three-pointer to go up 13. They're still shooting threes up 10, you know, and the spread, of course, is 14.5. Well, Oklahoma's coming down the floor. They throw the ball away. Gonzaga's coming down for a layup. Intentional foul. So then Gonzaga gets two free throws and the ball. They end up winning the game by 16. That's not the worst beat I've ever heard, but that's up there as far as this tournament goes.
I thought you were going to say the Ohio State loss in the first round.
Well, that wasn't a bad beat, though. Like, you can't really say that's a bad gambling beat because Ohio State was a 17-point favorite, and they lost the game outright.
I'm sorry, so I guess I don't understand the definition of a bad beat.
So a bad beat is, let's say there's 130 points on the total. The over-under of a game is 130. And let's pretend with a minute to go there's 105 points. The game goes to overtime on a half-court heave and eventually goes over 130. That's a bad beat. Usually it involves the point spread or a game going to overtime. Like, there have been games in tournaments past where, let's say, King John bets on Tennessee and they're a 9-point underdog. They go to overtime and Tennessee loses by 10. That's a bad beat because for the first 40 minutes in regulation, they were right there, but then it goes to overtime and don't cover. That's a bad beat.
I got that. All right, but then answer my question. What do you think is the game that was the worst for a favored team?
I think probably one of the most popular decisions for the sports book so far, probably Oral Roberts beating Florida.
Yeah.
Because here's what happens a lot in the tournament. There's a team that's an 11, 12, 13, or 14 seed, and nobody really bets them in the first game because this is a favorite-dominated event. People love to bet the favorites and parlay the favorites. But when a team like Oral Roberts wins the first game, people jump on them for the second game. And I had a bookmaker in Vegas tell me, we do not want Oral Roberts to go to the Sweet 16 because everybody's betting us Oral Roberts not only to cover, but to win. And when they got that second win against Florida, that was a bad decision for a lot of sports books.
Talk to me a little bit about the Loyola Ramblers.
Well, we can bet them in Indiana and Iowa. I know there was some
somebody texted in and said, no, you can't do that. I said, you can take your device to Indiana, and then it'll know you're in Indiana. And then as an Indianan, you can bet on an Illinois team. So Chicagoans can bet on Loyola, but they got to go outside the state confines. Somebody said, that's not true. You're here to tell me that that is true.
It is true. I actually talked to some of the guys over at PointsBet. Once you cross that state line and you're inside that geographically fenced area in either Indiana or Iowa, remember, it's on both sides. We're getting squeezed here. You pull out your app and you can make bets. If you try and log in, here's what happens. If you're trying to bet on Loyola and you log in inside Illinois, Loyola doesn't even appear as an option on your phone. Like, you can't even click it. You can't even see the word Loyola. That's how the software runs. And when you do log in inside Illinois, there's a red bar at the top of the app that says, betting on Illinois college basketball teams is not allowed. So they make it very clear you can't do it in Illinois, but if you cross the border, you can do it in Indiana and Illinois.
What about the tournament? Gonzaga still the favorite?
Yeah, they're still favored. Pretty low price now, plus 155. So if you bet 100 on Gonzaga right now, you only win 155, collect 255. So they're the odds-on favorite for sure. That hasn't changed. Baylor's about 4-1 at PointsBet, and then three other teams right in a row: Michigan 7-1, Houston 9-1, Alabama 10-1. Those are your top five. And then, believe it or not, Loyola, number six out of 16 at PointsBet. Loyola, 12-1.
Does that make sense to you? Because most folks didn't have them even beating Illinois. How do they go from not good enough to make it to the next round to a 12-1 favorite?
Well, there's liability built in. Remember, Loyola opening up the tournament was about 50 or 60-1. So I'm sure people took bets on that. They're already liable for some big payouts. But once Loyola beats Illinois, people look at their betting apps and go, oh, I like Loyola. You know, there's a trickle-down effect there when they knock off a number one seed. So now the public is starting to fall in love with Loyola. Is the number value? No, there's probably no value right now at 12-1. And here's how crazily the perception has changed on Loyola. They were a 7-point underdog against Illinois. They're a 7-point favorite this Saturday against Oregon State. So when you bet them in the first couple rounds, well, not against Georgia Tech, when you bet them against Illinois, they could lose by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and you can still win your bet. Now they have to win by 8 points or more for you to make money. So it's quite the role reversal.
I got to stop playing that game over in my head. But as a guy that was rooting for Loyola in that game, it was just so much fun. And I was so surprised that they were able to maintain the advantage and win by 13. All of that to say this, Sam. If Illinois plays Loyola 10 times, how many times does Loyola win?
Four?
Yeah, maybe four. Maybe, I mean, you know, after having thought about how that game went, maybe four, maybe five, right? I mean,
here's the wild part of it. If you were to lay, you know, all 10 starters in the game on a piece of paper, are the five starters from Illinois, here are the five from Loyola, you're taking the two best from Illinois. Like, if I say, all right, John, you get the first two, you're going to take Io and Kofi from Illinois. But Loyola was a much better team, and this is proof that March Madness, oftentimes it's not about the best players, it's about the best team. And the way that they share the sugar on offense, Loyola was able to take Coburn away from the rim and get into the paint. And once they got into the paint, they either drove to the rim or they were able to drive, collapse the defense, and kick it out to an open shooter. Like, that was a win based on execution. It wasn't a win based on talent. It was a win based on schematics and execution, and that's why Loyola's still alive and Illinois is not.
And that's also why on the front page of the sports section of the Tribune, one-third of the front page of the sports section of the Tribune is Illinois coach Brad Underwood, with his mask up over his face and his hand pulling it up, almost as if he's trying to hide. And Paul Sullivan's big article is Big Ten's Big Flop. And I think Illinois fans might still be stinging from how badly coached I think that team was in that game, that they let Cam Krutwig get the ball on the high post every single time Illinois did, without putting up much defense against that entry pass, is still amazing to me. I think that was the key to the offense, and it's why they were able to continue to score.
I think this happened across the whole Midwest. I mean, you and I last week talked about a prop bet where they were putting a number on how many Final Four teams the Big Ten would have, and the number was 1.5. And they're going to be lucky to get one team. I mean, there's only one team left, and Michigan has to win two more games to get there. So it's not just that Illinois. Yes, Illinois was outcoached by Porter Moser, but I think we have to sort of step on the brake here. 4 years ago, Illinois lost an exhibition game to Eastern Illinois. You know, things were pretty bad 4 years ago. Yeah. I know that the fan base is upset with the way the team bowed out early, but let's take a step back and look at how much stronger that program is from 4 years ago to where they are today. They're going to have to retool and they're going to have to reload, but this program is in very good hands. And I saw a couple people say, oh, they should fire Brad Underwood. That is idiotic.
Well, and plus, I mean, maybe some of those players will go pro, but everybody can come back. So it'd be interesting to see what Illinois looks like next year.
Io's gone. He's going to the draft. I think Kofi should come back. But again, it's about the family situation, the financials. Yeah. If he gets life-changing money, he's going to go. That's the way it goes. And they lose a couple players to graduation. But they do have a top-10 recruiting class. They had a couple really good freshmen that got big minutes this year. So you have to retool now. Anybody can do it one time. It's about doing it over a long period of time. You want to sustain success, and not flame out after one good tournament. One good year.
I hope Illinois comes back just as strong as they did last year. Really, it's okay to cheer for Loyola and hope that Illinois is a strong team in the conference next year. What about the White Sox? Talk to me about this crazy bet you saw at PointsBet.
Well, it's more of a fun wager. They're doing a promo on the White Sox on opening day. They're giving you even money, plus 100. 100 wins 100, 50 wins 50. They're giving you the White Sox to score one run on opening day. Odds are good they're going to score one run. The total in the game will be 8, so you're talking 5-3 or 6-2 or something. All you have to do is get the White Sox to score one run, and you're a winner on opening day.
Well, I hope that happens. I wouldn't take a bet on a team on opening day for anything, though. It could be snowing. Guys might not be in a groove yet. Blah, 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 blah. One run's not a lot, especially for that team. Good Lord.
But you only need one. I mean, you could get one run.
And do you have a big bet of the week for us?
Oh, you'll love this one. The largest wager so far on March Madness around the country. This was Monday night. Some better put $360,000 on Kansas plus two. $360,000. Kansas plus two, right?
Yep.
Jayhawks are down 19 at the half, and they lost by 34.
Smart enough to make money, not smart enough to spend it wisely.
You didn't even have a shot. You must have known, if you're betting $360,000, at least let me feel it. Well, that bet was over 5 minutes, 10 minutes into the game. Honey!
Sponsored by PointsBet. Talk to you next week. Thank you, Sam.
See you, pal.
Sam Panionovich.